Flared nostrils, raised voices, insults. Arguments can be messy, and sometimes it's hard to logically attack the issue rather than the person, especially when they're annoying, because they're wrong. So when you lock horns with someone, how do you maintain that respectful approach to fight fair? And especially when it comes to a loved one, how do we not lash out?
My number one rule for fighting fair would be, if you can't critique or respond to points of a discussion that I'm raising with you without personally attacking me, then I'm not interested in having a conversation with you.
It all sounds good in theory, but how do we do it in practice? Dr. Hugh Brakey works in moral philosophy at Griffith University's Institute for Ethics, Governance and Law, and he reckons there are key ways we can argue better. And I'm saying to you, Hugh, no, there isn't. I'm sorry. Welcome to Life Matters.
G'day, Michael. Nice to be here.
First up, Hugh, why do we argue?
We can argue for a whole bunch of different reasons. I mean, the fundamental fact that brings on the argument is always going to be that there's a disagreement. There's a difference in views between two people. And that's a very, very normal state of affairs. Human beings are very different and pluralistic in their minds as well as in their bodies and actions. And so that means that argument could be one way of responding to that difference in opinion. And some of the main things we use argument for, we can use it for persuasion because we want to change the other person's mind.
Yeah.
We can use it for inquiry, where we want to look into the way that an issue presents itself and there's a difference of views, but we want to explore it together.
So you want to interrogate the idea.
Yeah, that's right. And then another one, an important one, is collective decision making. When we're part of a team or a partnership or a family and we're thinking about the pros and cons of a particular way forward, and we want to think that through together and come up with something that we can all agree on, or at least that we can all live with.
Well, Hugh, they're all very worthy reasons to engage in disagreement, but there's one that's slightly negative that we haven't talked about. Isn't there another reason to argue is because you want to win?
It certainly can be. And even if we don't begin the argument with the desire of winning, and in terms of, you know, a complete pursuit of winning at all costs, we can attract that goal as we go through. So when we engage in argument, even as well as that material stakes that are resting on the argument, which is we want to win. Why? Well, to get our way, to be the one that has the agenda. So there's the material interest we have in winning, but once we're involved in argument, then as well, there's a whole bunch of psychological processes that suddenly kick in that make us more and more invested, not in having a nice, respectful exploration and discussion of an idea, but in winning, in being the person who comes out on top.
Well, yeah, look, on that very thing, I think sometimes the training on how not to fight fair is around in our national and international media every day, where winning seems to be all that matters, to hold the stage over someone else. So let's move away from not fighting like that and let's talk about how we fight fair. What are some of the basic elements of bringing that kind of positivity to the table?
So the two things that I would stress would be, the first one would be open-mindedness, that ability to actually listen to what the other person is saying and to try and understand where they're coming from. And that's really morally critical for a couple of reasons. One is that when we argue, we're always arguing against a position as we understand it. We're often expressing that position and trying to speak for the other person as we interrogate their idea and what they've said. Now, if we get it wrong, if we recklessly or negligently or deliberately misrepresent them, then one of the concerns we have is just a straightforward complaint of honesty. We're actually saying something that's deliberately or recklessly dishonest. We're misrepresenting the person. The other reason why open-mindedness is important is that in disagreeing with someone and having a principled argument with them where we are open-minded gives us a powerful resource against biases and moral mistakes that we can make, such as through groupthink and group polarization effects. So that open-mindedness can really open a space for us coming to a better understanding of our own views. The other one that I'd stress would be trying to be logical, reasonable, staying relevant. And often we're going to think about these as being truth-tracking devices, logical devices. We do that because we know that we're more likely to have a good discussion that's actually going to get us near the actual fact of the matter or the best position we can hold. But the reality is these are actually really important ethically as well as in terms of logic. They allow us to avoid manipulating our opponent, tricking our opponent, and they also form a barrier against that sort of point scoring mentality where you're taking a bunch of cheap shots at the person. Instead, if you're obeying all of those norms of arguing, but critical thinking norms, we might say, you're actually doing something that's ethically important as well. You're not manipulating the person in front of them. If they change their mind, it's because they've changed the mind in a way that it is coherent with who they are as a person and what they are happy to actually come away with as a belief as a result of the argument.
Hugh, I can't help but argue with you. All those things, I couldn't agree more with everything you've just said. However, not everybody has those intentions, of course. And in what's called a post-truth world, not even the facts sometimes can be established as the premise for the argument.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the more that everything gets pushed into dispute and even sort of basic facts or basic moral principles that we like to work out from, the more that they are called into dispute, the harder and harder it is to find a shared ground on which to build. I think an important thing here when we're engaging with with somebody who has really, really different views from what we have, it can be when you're arguing to focus on the little victories. Bear in mind that you're not actually going to change their mind. They're not going to have an epiphany and suddenly realize you're 100% right on this and they are 100% wrong. That does happen occasionally, but it's very, very rare. But what will happen more often is that you will come to some little shared agreements as you go along. You'll define terms with each other. You'll come to some areas where you'll agree they're making a decent point, even if you don't think it's a decisive point. You'll have evidence that's entered into and accepted by both sides. There's a lot of little victories that can happen on the way. And if the focus is on them, then you can actually build something that's much better than what we normally find in the way the argument happens in the world today.
If you're listening to this conversation, my guest is Dr. Hugh Brakey. He's a research fellow in moral philosophy at Griffith University. And we're talking about the elements of fighting fair, where you may have a disagreement with someone or a group of people, and you want to engage in a constructive way in perhaps coming to a new place for both parties that is amenable to both parties, even though you started in opposing camps. How do you do that yourself? How do you fight fair in your life, whether it be in the family, in the workplace, or in the wider world? I'd like to welcome someone else into the conversation now who has a point of view on this as well. Dr. Luke Zaffer is a research associate with the School of Historical and Philosophical Inquiry at the University of Queensland. And great to have you in the conversation, Luke.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me in.
Do you want to argue with anything you've heard so far?
Actually, I would like to argue with some of this so far.
Knock yourself out.
I agree with the substantive portion of everything that you said so far, but I don't think that open-mindedness is quite so clear-cut. I think there's a principle involved, what's called the principle of charity. Now, if you asked literally anyone and said, are you an open-minded person? They'd be like, yep, I'm the most open-minded person you'll ever encounter. So that's why you should listen to me, because I'm awesome. But open-mindedness isn't so much a choice. It's a habit of mind. It's something we develop over a long period of time. And so we are open-minded on some things and closed-minded on other things. But what we can do is choose to be charitable. And so that's the idea that we engage not with the weakest thing that the person has said, you know, looking for that point of attack so that you can put the screws in and win, but looking for the very strongest argument they could possibly make and then discussing that with them. And that's something you can choose to do rather than believing that you are.
Well, that's really interesting. So you're actually asking us to put ourselves in their shoes and imagine them having their strongest argument, and that's being charitable but also constructive.
Yeah, and it's really hard because you are going to engage with a thing that's probably going to take your feet out. It's going to go for your knees, and that's going to be rough. But at the same time, they are going to feel listened to, and now the discussion is going to go somewhere way more productive because they know that you have their best intentions at heart.
I really like that. That's a very interesting point of view, because what you're saying there is that you're allowing the other person to have freedom within that space to be heard and to be understood, which immediately lowers their defences, and maybe, just maybe, you can find a reconciliation between your opposing views down the track.
Exactly. And this is at that point when they're heard, you can look at their reasoning and their objectives and whether or not their conclusion actually makes logical sense and discuss that with them. And that's the point at which they're going to be like, I still think this, but they've made a good point about my own point of view. And that's troubling now.
It's clever. It's genius. Genius. Luke, you've actually discussed the art of discussion and disagreement and how to come to a resolution, I think, in classrooms. Don't you run a model called Philosophy for Children?
Yes. It's a larger movement throughout the country. Philosophy for Children is done from people from literally all ages. About 6 years old is about as young as we go, but children really do make the best philosophers because they're still keen on asking questions. And by engaging in this type of inquiry with them, we can discuss some really interesting things and then get them to engage with that critical thinking, other perspectives, and considering ideas that they otherwise wouldn't have had.
So do you find, in a very heartening way, that children are more open to an opposing point of view?
Yeah, and it's good news in that post-truth society because they are much more willing to engage with facts. And if we teach them, you know, is this fact come from a meaningful source? Can we trust it? Is it reliable? And then let's try to figure out what to do with these things. Let's look at competing priorities. And they're very willing to engage with truth because at this point, their ideologies and their beliefs haven't been solidified. And we give them the chance to solidify them in a logical and meaningful way.
Well, Hugh and Luke, I'd like to open up the conversation even more now because here's some listener views on their rules when it comes to fighting fair.
To fight fair, I listen carefully. So I try to understand what's behind the perspective, the argument, the life experience which informs this point of view. Then I respond.
It is absolutely necessary to stick to your truth also and not become defensive or combative in responses.
My number one rule for fighting fair is to exercise diplomacy and sticking always to the points of discussion.
It has a lot to do with listening, patience, and the way you respond more than anything.
Just some people on their ways of fighting fair, but can I come back to you, Hugh Brakey? When it comes to families, where sometimes all bets are off, how do you maintain that level of construction and constructive disagreement when there's so many emotions often involved?
Yeah, it is. It's much more difficult in that context. In some ways, it's better than other arguments we can get into because we have an established relationship with the person and because we often are face to face with them when these things are happening. But what happens here is that the stakes rise, including the moral stakes in what's in play. So it's at times like this where sticking to those rules, and all your listeners have made great little rules of thumb and great little contributions on things to keep in mind when you're in this type of argument. But the critical thing here is to remember, don't win the battle, but lose the war. The war is the relationship. You don't want to undermine something that's really, really important in your life and really, really important in their life because of one thing that's going on at the time. And in some ways, I mean, I'm a philosopher, Luke's a philosopher, so we're going to think that argument is terrific, but it's not the only way of responding to difference. And so one of the things that is important there can be to maybe ease up on the notion of critical interrogation and really prioritizing that notion of listening and understanding and making sure the person can feel safe and respected when they're putting forward things and points of views that grate with you or that you disagree with.
Yeah.
That's fine. You don't have to agree with them, but that ability to open up a space where they are happy to actually share and feel like they've been really listened to and understood, that becomes a major priority in this.
Never underestimate the power of empathy to break down walls. It's been great to talk to both of you. I think you've both fought fair very nicely indeed. And thanks very much for joining us on Life Matters.
Thank you very much.
Terrific. Thanks, Michael.
Dr. Hugh Brakey, Research Fellow at Griffith University, and Dr. Luke Zaffer, Researcher for the University of Queensland's Critical Thinking Program. You might have some thoughts on fighting fair yourself.